Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Let me double check the chapter. I believe it's chapter 24. Yes, Genesis chapter 24, if you'll turn there right quick. And as we often do when I preach, I'm going to ask you to hold that place in your Bible. We'll come back there in just a few moments. And then I'm going to ask you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 16 in a moment, but then we'll be going back to Genesis chapter 24 a little bit later. I'm aware that much of what I'm going to say today could be misunderstood. So I'm just going to go ahead and apologize ahead of time to anyone who might get offended or maybe misunderstand my motives. And I'm not speaking of anyone here in the room. I have no concern whatsoever about anybody here in the room today. But I'm thinking in terms of this may be heard someday online. And so I just want to make that comment ahead of time. But all of you are aware that God used Brother Hiles and his dear friend Russell Anderson to start Hiles Anderson College. It's only been a little over a year now since Brother Anderson went to heaven. The last 20 years Brother Anderson was alive, he and I were very, very close friends. We spoke several times a year in different conferences around the country. We traveled together. We did tours of Europe multiple times. We did tours of Europe together. We went on cruises together to Alaska and several other places. He had a condo that he owned on a lake in Michigan, and he had another condo that he owned in Hawaii, and he often allowed my family and me to stay in those condos when I was in the area speaking or for other reasons. For quite some time, I was the executor of his will. I'd say the last, at least 15 of the last 20 years he was alive, he probably called me once a week. And every time he called, my secretary and I would laugh about it. He would talk almost exactly 30 minutes. And when he finished talking, usually he was telling me what he had learned in the Bible that particular morning. He used to get up and spend 4 hours every morning in the Bible. But at the almost to the second, 30 minutes later, he would say, "Well, that's all I've got to say. You have anything else you want to say?" As if I had said anything in the last 30 minutes. And I'd say, "No, sir, I don't." And he'd hang up, and about a week later, he'd do it again. We were very dear friends. But I don't think there was ever one time, at least I don't remember, I don't think there was one time in that last 20 years he was alive that he and I were ever together that he didn't ask the same question. He'd ask every time we were together, he would ask, "Have you preached that sermon this year about getting in line?" You see, before our chapel service sermons were available online, before there was any such thing as online, we used to make cassette tapes of our chapel sermons, and they were available for sale. And we would send all of those to Brother Anderson just as a gift. He got all of our chapel sermons. And I preached this particular sermon about David getting in line, and he heard it on cassette tape, and he called me right away, and he said, "As co-founder of the college, I'm going to request that you preach that sermon every year in September so the freshman class can hear that sermon." Well, I just couldn't bring myself to preach the same sermon every single year. But I'll be honest with you, I did preach it about every 3, 4, 5 years. I'd preach it again. But I haven't, in 10 or 12 years, I haven't preached the sermon. And so sort of in memory of Brother Anderson. I'm going to preach at least an abbreviated version of that sermon that he often requested. You're all aware that God sent Samuel to Jesse's house to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the king of Israel. And you're aware that each one of those sons got in line and passed by in front of Samuel. And each time one of them did, God told Samuel he's not the one. When they had all passed by, standing there in line, Samuel said to Jesse, "Is this all your sons or all your children?" And Jesse said, "No, I got one more. He's just the youngest kid in the family. He's out taking care of the sheep." And so look at First Samuel chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 16 and verse 11. First Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." In other words, he was saying, we're all going to stand here with your sons in line, and we're not going to sit down until you put David in the lineup, or until David gets in line. When I first came to school in the fall of 1974, I just got in line. There were some people that had gotten here before me, and they were already in line. So I just got in line behind those people that were already here. Obviously, when I came here, Brother Hiles was already here. He was at the front of the line. Brother Collins, I'm going to ask you to play the part of Brother Hiles today. I'm going to have you stand right over here and sort of face over that direction a little bit. And then behind Brother Hiles, there was Brother Jim Vineyard. He was the bus director. All of us students loved him to death. He was an ex-Green Beret from the jungles of Laos before the Vietnam War ever started. He was just, we just loved the guy. But he had a big heart and loved people and was a great preacher, great soul winner. So Brother Vineyard and the bus director and some of the other assistant pastors were in that line. So Brother Aaron and Brother Mitchell, I'm going to let the two of you represent the assistant pastors of the church that were here at that time. Also in that same line was the college administrators, president, executive vice president, a couple of other vice presidents, and they were in that line. So I'm going to have you two men sitting right here. I'm going to have you come up here, and I'm going to ask you to step up about one step. And I'm going to let these men represent the college administration that was here at the time that I came. Of course, the faculty and staff was already here. And so I'm going to let these two men right here on the end right here come up here if you would. I'm going to have you represent the staff and faculty that was here at the time. So if you'll come stand up here. I'm going to ask you to be mature enough now to listen to what I'm trying to convey to you. The first weekend I was here, I joined a bus route. And so there was a bus captain on that route, and so I got in line behind that bus captain. So I'm going to ask you to be my bus captain, if you'll come up here real quick and stand in line right here. So that first weekend I was here, I had gotten in line behind those that were here before me. During that first semester, while I was here in school, they asked me to teach a Sunday school class. No, let me back up. Before that, the third week I was here, they asked me to be a bus captain. They took the route that I was on and split it. This captain had already built it to that point to where it needed to be split. So they split it and gave me half of it, and I became the bus captain. And so then I had a couple of people in line behind me, a couple of bus workers, some bus kids. So I'm going to let you two young men right here come up here, right, Fess? Yeah, right there, if you'll come up here. And you're going to represent my bus workers and my bus riders. And I no longer had a bus captain, so I'm going to have you go sit down. You can't cut it, you can't cut it. Just go sit down. Later that same semester, they asked me to teach a Sunday school class in the Teenage C Sunday school department. In fact, that's where I met my wife. And they asked me to teach a class in that. So I'm going to have you and you come up here, and you're going to represent my Sunday school class. So then I had a couple of more people in line behind me. The second semester I was here, in addition to being a bus captain and teaching a Sunday school class, then they asked me to preach in the junior church, or actually it was a primary church for the A Sunday school. So I began preaching that primary church service. I was a bus captain, a Sunday school teacher, and a primary church service preacher that by that second semester. So I had a couple more people in line behind me. So let's have you two young men over here come up here right fast. And you're going to represent my primary church that was in line behind me during that second semester. The first summer I was here, Brother Vineyard hired me to work at the bus garage. Brother Jerry Oswardy and some others were the mechanics, and I was the cleanup boy. I swept the floor and gassed the buses. That was my job. But during that summer, Brother Vineyard came up with the idea that he was going to have what he called division leaders in the bus ministry. There was originally just three of us. Jim Black had the north side of Chicago. Larry Fazio had the south side of Chicago. And I had the suburbs as far out as Joliet and some other places. And so I was one of the three division leaders that second year I was here in college. So I'm going to have you three men on that second row right there, come up here real quick if you would. And I'm going to have you stand in line back there, if you would, and just stay there for a moment. About a year and a half later, by this time we had 12 divisions, Brother Vineyard left and went and took a church. And Brother Hiles asked me to join the church staff. I was still a student here at the college. I think it was my junior year, if I remember right. And he asked me to join the church staff and be the bus director over all the C and D buses. So Brother Vineyard left. Who was the church staff members? Okay, you can go sit down. You can sit down, Brother Aaron. And I want everybody to step up one step and leave my spot. This is my spot. Yeah, okay. We'll make sure I'm in the right spot. And so they asked me to oversee the C&D buses. And so I'm going to have you three men on the second row right there come up here and stand in line over there. And you may have to start working your way down the steps there if you need to. The next year after Brother Vineyard left, then Dr. Helton left. He was a college vice president, but he was also in charge of the Sunday schools at church, the BC&D Sunday schools. So Brother Hiles asked me to be in charge of the C and D Sunday schools in addition to the buses. And so the other church staff member, I'm going to have you sit down, or college administrator both. It was Brother Helton. He had both duties. And he put me in charge of those Sunday schools. So how about on the third row there, you three men on the end of the third row there. Why don't you come up here, and you're going to have to start working your way down the steps there. And I'm going to have everybody step up a step. And so by this time, it was getting close to when I would graduate. I was my last semester in college. The man who had been in charge of the B bus ministry, I had 36 bus routes in the C and D bus ministry. He had 70 in the B bus ministry. He left the staff. And so I'm going to have one more person go sit down, if you would, please. And they asked me to take the B bus routes. So in the middle of my last semester in college, I went from 36 bus routes to 106 bus routes. So I'm going to have the four men on that next row right there come up here if you would, including Batman. And I'm going to have you stand there. And so they, Brother Hiles had me working with all the college bus routes at that time. Then the next year, after I graduated, one of the faculty members, Brother Johnny Pope, left to go into evangelism at the time and now has pastored for many, many years. And so he left, Brother Johnny Pope, one of the faculty members. I'm going to ask everybody to step up if you would. And they asked me to teach his class. So if everybody would step up a step or two. They asked me to teach his class. So I'm going to have the two men, the next two men on that fourth row there, come up here real quick. And you're going to be my concentrated evangelism class. Then the next year, another church staff member left who had been overseeing the church ed class, like Brother Francis does now. As a church staff member, he comes down here and oversees the class. Well, there was a man doing that at the time, and he left. And so I'm going to have you go sit down. You're the church staff member that went and that left, that used to oversee the church ed class. And so they asked me to oversee the church ed class. So let me find a couple of real dumb-looking guys to be. All right, let me have the man on the end there, if you would, and then the next man here, if you would. Yeah, all right. If the shoe fits, just wear it. But they asked me to oversee the church ed class. And I don't remember, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years later, I don't remember exactly. The man that had been in charge of the City Baptist School needed to be replaced. And so they asked me to oversee the City Baptist School. He didn't leave. He just got reassigned somewhere else. And so give me about four more fellas over here. Just four of you jump up real quick right over in here. Just don't be bashful. Just jump up real quick. There you go. And you're going to be the City Baptist School. And stay with me. I'm going somewhere with all this. Then the day came when Dr. Evans was ready to retire, the president of the college. And so they asked me to become president of the college. And so we're going to have Dr. Evans go sit down and have everybody step up several steps. And give me about five or six fellas to jump in line real quick, and you're going to be the college. There you go. Good. Give me four or five more. There you go. That's enough right there. Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you so much. Now, I fully understand that somebody may sit there and think, why are you illustrating this to us? Well, the first time I illustrated this like this was because a student had asked me, how did you get to where you are? And I didn't know how I got there, except when I first got here, I got at the end of the line. And I just stayed in that line. And I always watched those who were in front of me, and wherever they went, I went that same way. Remember what Paul said? Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, there was a person or two in the line who quit following Christ in the manner that it seemed biblical to me to follow Christ. And so, in my mind, they got out of line, but I stayed in line. It was Paul who said, in fact, let me read it for you. I'm not sure I can quote it, so let me read it for you. Paul was writing a letter to the folks at Thessalonica after he had been there and started the church and so forth. And later on, he wrote this letter to the folks in Thessalonica. And in that letter, he said, "And we beseech you, brethren," or "we beg you, plead with you, earnestly plead with you, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Doesn't that sound like he's describing your pastor? Those who labor among you and are over you and who admonish you. Doesn't that sound like your college administrators? Doesn't that sound like your college faculty members? And he begged them. He said, I'm pleading with you to do this. Get to know those guys. Then he went on to say, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. I know there's this fake, I love what Trump says about fake news. Well, I call it this fake doctrine that's trying to be spread across America that you know, you can't ever respect a person, you can't ever honor a person, you can't ever look up to a person, you can't worship man. Well, I personally have never, one time in my 54 years of being in the ministry, seen anybody worship a man. I've never seen it happen. I've never one time seen anybody get down on their knees and bow down to another person. I've just never seen that happen. So I don't know why we preach against it so hard, but instead of fretting about we might accidentally worship somebody, why don't we just obey the Bible? The Bible says to esteem them very highly. Does that sound like respect to them? Does that sound like listen to what they've got to say? Does that sound like learn something from them? It said get to know them. Now, it's real hard to get to know the ones that are in line in front of you while you're out of line. And by the way, the sooner you get out of line, the bigger chance you have of destroying your whole life. You know, I'm almost 70 years old, like a few months yet, but I'm nearly 70 years old. I don't know, do I have 2 weeks left or do I have 20 years left? I don't know. But if I were to get out of line at this point, and I don't mean, you know, like ruin my life with terrible sin and all that, but I mean if I've just got a little off on some doctrine or a little off on some teaching at this point in my life, instead of winding up where I was supposed to be in life, I might wind up over here. But if you get out of line when you're back here, by the time you're 70 years of age, you're going to be way off the mark. Okay, when you're 69 years of age someday, you may get, I haven't yet, but you may get to the point where you feel like, well, bless God, I know God and I can read the Bible. I can make my own decisions. I can figure out what I'm supposed to do. You may get to that point someday when you're 69 years old. I haven't yet, but you might. And I'm not opposed to you getting there someday. But if you arrive there now and you're just a little bit off the mark, look how far you're going to be off the mark. At your age now, if you've got the attitude of, well, I'm just going to put up with this college for a few years. My dad taught me into coming. My pastor said I ought to be here. These guys, they don't know much more than I do. And we don't know much more than you do. We just happened to get here first. And we got in line. And you know, the line has been going in the right direction and winding up at the right point for the last 54 years. Might not hurt for you to stay in line at least till you graduate. I mean, at least that long. Now, I'm going to admit to you, there was a time while I was in college that I came that close to getting out of line. I was working for Brother Vineyard. He had hired me to be the cleanup boy at the bus garage. And Brother Vineyard was close friends with Dr. Army Jasava. Dr. Army Jasava was a medical doctor in the Philippines. And he had been won to the Lord or reached or influenced or something by a missionary by the name of Bob Hughes. Bob Hughes was the first Independent Fundamental Baptist that built a great work, that the Lord used to build a great work in the Philippines. Dr. Bob Hughes was dying of cancer. Brother Hiles had him come to pastor school and testify. And that's the night that Rick Martin surrendered to go to the Philippines. Well, Dr. Army Jasava had become the pastor of that church in the Philippines where Bob Hughes had been. Dr. Army Jasava came to pastor school. He needed a driver for the week. He needed a chauffeur. So Brother Vineyard asked me to be Army Jasava's chauffeur for the whole week. Of course, I was thrilled to death to do it. Beat sweeping the floor and fueling buses. And that week, Army Jasava and I got to know each other. We spent some nights in a hotel together. We went down to Indianapolis for him to preach one night that week. And we got to know each other. At the end of the week, he asked me if I would come to the Philippines and be his bus director and teach the bus ministry at his college and help churches all over the Philippines start bus ministries. Well, I was 20 years of age, still in college. Man, that sounded exciting. So I came up with a clever idea. Dr. Bob Hughes was by this time, a few weeks later, in the hospital, in the Southern Methodist University Hospital in Fort Worth, Texas, dying of cancer. Well, I was going to go home for Easter. My family lived, part of my family lived not too far from there, so I decided I would go visit Bob Hughes in the hospital. So I did. I went to the hospital, found his room, knocked on the door. His adult daughter stepped out the hallway and said, "Can I help you?" I said, "I'd like to speak to your father." She said, "He's busy right now. Can you wait a few minutes?" And I thought, busy? How can you be busy dying of cancer? But she said, "He's busy right now. Can you wait a few minutes?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I can." Stood there in the hallway for several minutes, and then she opened the door and said, "You can come in now." She said, "But if you could be real quiet for a few moments." When I walked in, Dr. Hughes had one of those old cassette tape recorders laying on his chest. He was laying flat on his back in the bed, could barely speak, gasping for breath, but he was reaming his church back in the Philippines. He was reaming them out. It sounded like one of Paul's epistles to one of the churches. He said, "I have heard that such and such was happening. I heard that you did this. I heard that you've been doing this. And you know I didn't teach." Man, he was preaching the sermon and he was letting them have it. So when he finally got done, he said, "What can I do for you?" Well, I told him that Brother Jasava had invited me to come to the Philippines and I was excited about it. And you know, Bob Hughes, the man who had the original burden for the Philippines. I knew he would be excited that a young preacher boy was willing to surrender to go to the Philippines. So I wanted to get him to endorse the idea for me. I said, "So I wanted to ask you your advice on what I should do." He said, "Well, first of all, what you should do is get your Bible and open to the book of Genesis chapter 24. So if you would do that right quick. So I took my Bible, standing there beside his bed, and I opened to Genesis chapter 24. And Dr. Hughes said to me, "You know the story where Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to find a bride for his son." And he said, "Look at verse 27. He said, "Read that out loud to me." This is Eliezer speaking when he found the bride. Eliezer said, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God, my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Dr. Hughes said to me, "Young man, at this point in your life, you have no need whatsoever to be the least bit concerned about what you're going to do when you graduate from college 2 or 3 years from now." He said, "What you need to do is go back to that college and you need to get in the way." Now he said, "Get in the way," but my brain heard, get back in line. I had almost gotten my focus off of making my bed and cleaning my dorm room and reading my Bible and praying and going to class and staying awake and paying attention and taking notes and studying for the test and going to work every night and paying my school bill on time and visiting my bus route on Saturday and obeying the rules. I had almost lost that focus, and I was trying to focus on something, and supposedly it was something good, not necessarily even something bad. But it wasn't in line. It wasn't the line I was supposed to be in at that particular time. Oh, sure, the day would come that I would go to the Philippines multiple times. I've been there many times. I was there this year, earlier this year. I've been there many, many times. But at that point, the Philippines was not the proper focus for me. The proper focus for me at that time was to get to know those that labored among us and was over us, and to love them and esteem them and listen to them and learn something from them. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, and all you men can be seated. Thank you for your help. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder if there's anyone in here this morning and you need to just refocus. Hey, it's the beginning of a new semester. Let's get our focus back in place. What should you be focused on? Did your dorm room pass inspection this morning? What should you be focused on? Are you going to have perfect attendance in your classes this semester and not take every, not the absence, those other things, those goof-off days, personal day. Yeah, not take every personal day that's coming to you just because it's there. Are you going to be focused on getting a job? Hey, you've been here a week and a half and you don't have a job yet? There's an opportunity this afternoon. Go get one. You say, well, I'm not sure that's God's will for me. Well, I guarantee you it is God's will for you to work. And I'm not sure you can work at the wrong place. He said you shouldn't eat if you don't work. You've been here a week and a half. Have you worked any yet? But you've been eating for the last week and a half. You need to get focused on get you a job. You need to get focused on those people on your bus route that need you this weekend. They need you to be right with God. They need you to know God. They need you to be filled with the Spirit of God. Who would say right now, Brother Young, would you pray for me that I can make sure I keep my focus exactly right? Would you lift your hand? Would you let me pray for you? Would you keep it up for a moment? Thank you. Now, with your hands up, I'm going to ask you to stand up and make your way to the altar. And I'm going to ask you at this time to ask God to help you to be focused the rest of this semester. Oh, and maybe next semester too. Oh, and maybe all the way to graduation, you ought to stay focused